According to Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, a very special message of assurance is in store for those who love God, those who are the called. This passage says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." We're blessed in that the Bible contains numerous illustrations of that particular principle. We see that coming to pass many, many times in the lives of great Bible characters. And as we examine the book of Genesis, we see that it shows how all things work together for good in the life of Joseph. Joseph was a remarkable man. I don't know if he's ever received the credit that he deserves, but he was a remarkable man, and we see that all things did indeed work together for good in his life. And the passages that we'll be studying this evening, I think we can begin to see what kind of character Joseph really had. In my judgment, we've already seen what kind of character he possessed. But you know, he could have spent years dwelling and meditating upon what his brothers did to him. He was a wise man. He didn't do that because he had an opportunity to get even with them for the evil they did to him. But we'll let Moses tell us. He's a much better storyteller than I am because he was inspired. I'm not. But Genesis shows how all things work together for good in the life of Joseph. This evening we want to cover the information that's found in Genesis chapter 42. As we study this chapter, there are certain things that we need to keep in mind. Now remember, this is a running narrative, so the information that we cover in one chapter is based on what's already been presented. But there are certain key points we need to keep in mind as we study chapter 42. Way back in chapter 15, God was speaking to Abraham, and God told his friend. By the way, I love the way that James refers to Abraham as the friend of God, with a capital F, by the way. God told his friend that his descendants would live in a foreign land for 400 years. That was a very special prophecy made and promise. But as we study chapter 42, we see the stage was being set for that particular promise and prophecy to be fulfilled. We need to keep that in mind. Also in chapter 37 that we've already covered, in verses 5 through 11, Joseph had two dreams himself. And those two dreams indicated that his family members would bow before him. Now, when Joseph experienced those dreams, he wasn't informed exactly when that would take place. But he was informed through those dreams that his family members would bow before him. We will see that coming to pass in chapter 42. And we need to keep in mind that in chapter 41, Joseph interpreted the dreams of Pharaoh, and Joseph became the second ruler in the land of Egypt. Remember that Pharaoh put Joseph in charge of storing up the grain for the famine. There would be 7 years of plenty followed by 7 years of famine. Joseph suggested to Pharaoh that he choose a wise man to be in charge of storing up the grain during those 7 years of plenty to be prepared for the years of famine. Well, Pharaoh realized he didn't need to look any further than the man who was standing before him, so he put Joseph in charge of storing up the grain. And let's look at the last two verses of chapter 41. We learn from these verses that the effects of the famine were widespread. This is chapter 41, verses 56 and 57. "And the famine was over all the face of the earth, and Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians, and the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt. And all countries came into Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn, because that the famine was so sore in all lands." Egypt was not the only land affected by the famine. Notice that this was widespread, and people from different areas traveled to Egypt to purchase grain. Well, Joseph had been storing up grain during the 7 years of plenty, and now not only did he have plenty for the Egyptians, but he had some for other people to purchase as well. Now, in chapter 42 that we want to cover this evening, Joseph's brothers traveled to Egypt to buy some grain. I've often tried to picture what this was like. I've tried to imagine Joseph, and I've tried to imagine his brother standing there before him. That was a very interesting situation. Now let's read about it. In verses 1 through 5 of chapter 42, we see that Jacob and his family were affected by this famine. Now they lived in the land of Canaan. Verse 1. Now when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said unto his sons, "Why do you look one upon another?" And he said, "Behold, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. Get you down thither and buy for us from thence, that we may live and not die." And Joseph's 10 brethren went down to buy corn in Egypt. But Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob sent not with his brethren, for he said, "Lest peradventure mischief befall him." And the sons of Israel came to buy corn among those that came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. Now Jacob heard the good news that there was some grain available in the land of Egypt. Remember, he had 12 sons. But at this point, Jacob thought that Joseph had been killed by a wild animal. But he instructed 10 of his sons to go down to Egypt and purchase some grain so that they could live. One time I heard Brother Mac Lyon make an observation from the statement that Jacob made in verse 1. He said, when it comes to serving the Lord and people don't want to get involved, he said, this is a good question. Why do you look upon one another? In other words, it's a time to quit looking, it's time to start doing. And they were just sitting there, I guess. The famine was very, very bad. Everyone was being affected by it. Well, Jacob knew that something had to be done. Remember, he was the patriarch of the family. So he asked his sons why they were looking upon one another. So he told them to go down to Egypt and purchase some grain. That way they would be able to live. Now remember, not only would the family members need grain to survive, think about all of their animals. Well, there was a need for food. Well, let's look at verse 6. Verse 6 shows that Jacob's sons appeared before Joseph. And Joseph was the governor over the land. And he it was that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. Now remember, there were other lands affected by this great famine. People were able to go to Egypt and purchase some grain. But whoever went to Egypt to buy some grain had to deal with Joseph because he was the man in charge of it. And I want you to notice what Joseph's brothers did when they came before him. They bowed before him. You remember those dreams? Joseph had those dreams years earlier that his family members would bow before him. Now he told his brothers about the first dream and they hated him for it. And then the other dream that he had included even his parents. Well, it's interesting. Joseph's dream came to pass. There his brothers are bowing before him. It would be interesting to know what was running through the mind of Joseph about this time. Do you suppose he remembered those dreams? He had them years earlier, but they came to pass. Well, Joseph interrogated his brothers. Let's read about that beginning at verse 7. And Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them, but made himself strange unto them, and spake roughly unto them, and he said unto them, Whence come ye? And they said, From the land of Canaan to buy food. And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew not him. And Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamed of them, and said unto them, Ye are spies, to see the nakedness of the land ye are come. And they said unto him, Nay, my lord, but to buy food are thy servants come. We are all one man's sons, we are all true men, thy servants are no spies. And he said unto them, Nay, but to see the nakedness of the land ye are come. And they said, Thy servants are 12 brethren, the sons of one man, in the land of Canaan. And behold, the youngest is this day with our father, and one is not. That's interesting that Joseph recognized his brothers immediately, but they did not recognize him. Remember, a number of years have passed, and we don't know to what extent Joseph's appearance may have changed, but his brothers did not recognize him. Well, first off, do you think they ever expected to find him in Egypt as the number two ruler in the whole land? I don't think they expected that. But they were dealing with a man who actually spoke roughly to them. I heard someone one time criticize Joseph for doing so. I've tried to put myself in Joseph's position. I think I would have done a whole lot more than speak roughly to my brothers. Well, he's interrogating them. We will see that they got a whole lot less than what they deserved. That's interesting that Joseph concealed his identity from his brothers. According to verse 23, he spoke through an interpreter. It's possible if he had spoken directly to them in their native language, they may have been able to figure out who he was. But he spoke through an interpreter. Consequently, his brothers were not able to recognize who he was. Now, Joseph accused his brothers of being spies. Well, they denied that they were spies, but as they were talking to Joseph, he was able to learn certain things. If you consider what they said to him, they let Joseph know that Jacob was still alive. They said, we're all one man's sons. They also let Joseph know that Benjamin was with Jacob. Now remember that Joseph and Benjamin were full brothers. They had the same mother. Their mother was Rachel. Now, Rachel passed away when Benjamin was born. But at one time, Jacob loved Joseph the most. Can you imagine how he felt toward Benjamin? He was his youngest child. Well, as Joseph was talking to his brothers, they were defending themselves, saying, we're not spies. They let him know that Jacob was still alive. I figured Joseph was anxious to learn about that. But they also let Joseph know that Benjamin was back home in Canaan with Jacob. Continuing at verse 14, Joseph gave a plan, and this plan would determine whether his brothers were spies. Verse 14. And Joseph said unto them, That is it that I spake unto you, saying, ye are spies. Hereby ye shall be proved. By the life of Pharaoh ye shall not go forth hence, except your youngest brother come hither. Send one of you, and let him fetch your brother, and ye shall be kept in prison, that your words may be proved. Whether there be any truth in you, or else by the life of Pharaoh, surely ye are spies. And he put them all together into ward 3 days. And Joseph said unto them the third day, this do and live, for I fear God. If ye be true men, let one of your brethren be bound in the house of your prison. Go ye, carry corn for the famine of your houses, but bring your youngest brother unto me, so shall your words be verified, and ye shall not die. And they did so. Now Joseph first said that one of his brothers would be allowed to go back to Egypt to bring Benjamin down to see him. But he put them all in ward for 3 days. And after 3 days, Joseph must have changed his mind, because he said that he would keep one of the brothers in ward while the other brothers went back to Canaan and then brought Benjamin down to Egypt. So that was Joseph's plan. He said, this is how I will know that you're true men, that you're not spies. First, he said, one of you will go back and bring your brother down to Egypt. So he put them all in prison for 3 days. Then he changed his mind and said, one of you will stay here in prison, the others will go back. I wonder if during that 3 days, if maybe Joseph wondered what kind of effect that would have upon Jacob if all of his sons, except for one, stayed in Egypt. I've wondered about that. You see, there are a lot of details that simply are not revealed to us, but we know something about human nature. I can't help but wonder if maybe Joseph thought about the possible effect that could have on Jacob. Well, that was Joseph's plan, to determine whether his brothers were spies. Well, let's continue at verse 21. And they said one to another, we are verily guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us. And Reuben answered them, saying, spake I not unto you, saying, do not sin against the child, and you would not hear? Therefore, behold, also his blood is required. And they knew not that Joseph understood them, for he spake unto them by an interpreter. And he turned himself about from them and wept, and returned to them again and communed with them, and took from them Simeon and bound him before their eyes. Now, if you do the math very carefully, you will see that just over 20 years have passed. We're introduced to Joseph when he was 17, and his father sent him to check on the welfare of his brothers. As he stood before Pharaoh, he had reached the age of 30. There had been 7 years of famine, and probably about 2 years are into the famine. So roughly 22 years have passed. But Joseph's brothers remember how he felt when they mistreated him. No doubt they remembered how his voice was pleading with them, and they remembered the looks on his face. Well, Reuben spoke up. Now remember, he was the oldest child of Jacob. He reminded his brothers that he had tried to rescue Joseph. Now, the other brothers wanted to kill Joseph, but Reuben said, let's put him in a pit. And his intention was to come back later and rescue Joseph. But before he could do that, he was sold to the Ishmaelites, who took him down to Egypt. I think it's safe to say that their consciences were hurting them. Now, Joseph understood what they were saying. It was affecting him. He had to leave so that he could cry. You know, I've made the observation a number of times. After Peter denied Christ the third time, he did about the only thing that he could do. The Bible says he went out and wept bitterly. He had a good cry. He never denied the Lord again, though. Sometimes our emotions get built up and they need to be released. Can you imagine what was going through the mind of Joseph about this time? He had to leave so that he could cry. His emotions were built up inside and they had to come out. Well, Joseph came back and he had Simeon bound. Now, I've always thought that was interesting. Why did he choose Simeon? If you go back and look at the children born to Jacob, Reuben was the firstborn. We know that he tried to rescue Joseph. He was even telling his brothers, when they're wondering about all of this going on, he said, I tried to get you to listen to me. And let's not hurt Joseph. He said, but you wouldn't listen to me. Reuben's the firstborn. Would you like to know who the second one is? Simeon. Joseph did not choose Reuben. Reuben tried to rescue him. Joseph chose Simeon. I've always thought that was interesting. I took the time to go back and look at the order in which Jacob's sons were born. Reuben was the firstborn. Simeon was the second. Simeon is the one that Joseph chose to stay in prison while the other brothers would go back to Canaan and then bring Benjamin before him. Well, Joseph understood what his brothers were saying. He just had to get out of there so he could have a good cry. But after he cried and let his emotions out, he came back. And he continued talking with them. You know, it's interesting. After all of these years had passed, the consciences of these men hurt them. They did something that was wrong. They had never corrected it. And you know, situations are not ever going to improve until they're corrected. Well, it's interesting how the consciences of Joseph's brothers were hurting them after all these years. Now, I happen to believe that time is a good healer, but it won't take away a guilty conscience. If they had made things right with Joseph, if they had made things right with Jacob, then they could have clear consciences. But after all these years, their consciences were still hurting them. Well, let's continue at verse 25. Something else took place that made Joseph's brothers think that God was punishing them. Verse 25. Then Joseph commanded to fill their sacks with corn and to restore every man's money into a sack and to give them provision for the way. And thus did he unto them. And they laded their asses with the corn and departed thence. And as one of them opened his sack to give his ass provender in the inn, he espied his money. For behold, it was in his sack's mouth. And he said unto his brethren, my money is restored, and lo, it is even in my sack. And their heart failed them, and they were afraid, saying one to another, "What is this that God had done unto us?" I think it's safe to say they had guilty consciences. Now they think that God is punishing them. Remember when Jacob sent his sons down to Egypt to buy grain, they took money with them and they took presents for the leader of the country. And no doubt they had given this money for the grain. But now it's been restored. That money is in the containers holding the grain. Well, one of the brothers found his money. When he told his brothers about it, though, they were all affected. Well, they're wondering, what was God doing to them? Isn't that interesting? Verse 29. And they came unto Jacob their father, unto the land of Canaan, and told him all that befell unto them, saying, "The man who is the Lord of the land spake roughly to us, and took us for spies of the country. And we said unto him, We are true men, we are no spies. We be 12 brethren, sons of our father. One is not, and the youngest is this day with our father in the land of Canaan. And the man, the Lord of the country, said unto us, Hereby shall I know that ye are true men. Leave one of your brethren here with me, and take food for the famine of your households, and be gone. And bring your youngest brother unto me. Then shall I know that ye are no spies, but that ye are true men. So will I deliver you, your brother, and ye shall traffic in the land." So Jacob's sons went back to Canaan. They told Jacob what had taken place. They did not know who Joseph was. They told Jacob about dealing with the leader of the country. Of course, he was the second ruler under Pharaoh. But they told Jacob what had taken place. Well, let's notice how Jacob reacted. Verse 35. And it came to pass, as they emptied their sacks, that behold, every man's bundle of money was in his sack. And when both they and their father saw the bundles of money, they were afraid. And Jacob their father said unto them, "Me have you bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, and Simeon is not, and ye will take Benjamin away. All these things are against me." And Reuben spake unto his father, saying, "Slay my two sons, if I bring him not to thee. Deliver him into my hand, and I will bring him to thee again." And he said, "My son shall not go down with you, for his brother is dead, and he is left alone. If mischief befall him by the way in the which you go, then shall you bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave." Well, Jacob became afraid when he saw what had happened, how that all the money was in the containers containing the grain. And notice how Jacob felt. Why is everything against me? You can imagine how he's feeling about this time. He's still grieving over Joseph after all these years. Now Simeon is down in Egypt, and he does not want Benjamin to go. He just frankly said, "I cannot handle it if I lose Benjamin too." Well, Jacob was concerned that everything had turned against him. Reuben spoke up, and he offered to give his two sons to Jacob. But Jacob still refused to let Benjamin go down to Egypt. In his mind, he had already lost Joseph as well as Simeon. He just simply could not bear the thought of losing Benjamin. Well, this is an interesting situation. You have to be a little bit familiar with the life of Jacob to perhaps appreciate how he felt. I wonder if he's remembering how he treated Esau. I wonder if he remembered how Laban treated him. Jacob had a lot on his mind, and now he has to worry about losing Benjamin. He says, I'm not sending Benjamin to Egypt. I can't bear the thought of losing him. He'd already lost Joseph in his mind, and now Simeon was in prison in Egypt. He just simply could not bear the thought of possibly losing Benjamin. Well, as sometimes they say in the movies, the plot thickens. This is a very interesting situation. But it does improve. Now, like I said earlier, I've heard Joseph criticized for the way that he treated his brothers. He treated them a whole lot better than they deserved. Now, I think we will see that Joseph really showed what kind of character he had. I don't want to get too far ahead in the story, but Joseph shows what true forgiveness is all about.